Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Joe McGee. Welcome to Through the Bible, where we're going from Genesis to Revelation in chronological order as it happened, not as it's written. So today we're picking up about the release of Hebrew slaves. They'd been slaves in Egypt for years. Now they're coming to the promised land. There's a whole new way of living. So God's given them instructions on how to live very different than how they've lived for the last 400 years. So we're going to pick up in Deuteronomy chapter 15, and we're going to pick up in verse 12. If a fellow Hebrew sells himself or herself to be your servant and serves you for 6 years, in the seventh year, you may set that servant free. That's interesting. Bondage didn't last. When you release a male servant, do not send him away empty-handed. Give him a generous farewell gift from your flock, your threshing floor, your wine press. I've left two great companies that I worked for several years and went to a better company. But every time I left, they gave me a nice check. You know, now they've got systems now set up, secular check, where you can set up money aside. So when you leave, you'll leave with a good check to help you go to the next level or move to another town or say a house, buy another house. So God had this set up way back in the beginning. It says, verse 13, whenever you release a male goat, do not send it away empty handed. Give him a generous farewell gift from your flock, threshing floor, your wine press, how the Lord has blessed you. Remember that you once were slaves in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. This is why I'm giving you this command. But suppose your servant says, I will not leave you, because he loves you and your family, and he has done well with you. In that case, take an awl and push it through his earlobe into the door. After that, he'll be your servant for life. Do the same with your female servants. In the modern age, talking about, we've noticed a change in the last couple of decades of more men wearing earrings. Instead of your mama wearing earrings, men are wearing earrings. Well, long, long, long thousands of years ago, men did that. And it was a sign of them to their owner. No, I like working for you. I like serving you. I like being with you. My family's blessed because of you. I want to stay with you. Well, that put a ring through his earlobe. It's a sign. You're mine, I'm yours. It's a good thing, very good thing. Verse 19, you must set aside for the Lord your God all the firstborn males from your flocks and herds. Do not use the firstborn of your herds to work your fields. Do not shear the firstborn of your flocks. Instead, you and your family must eat these animals in the presence of the Lord your God each year at a place he chooses. But if the firstborn animal has any defect, such as lameness, blindness, or if anything else is wrong with them, you must not sacrifice it to the Lord your God. Instead, use it for food for your family in your hometown. Anyone, whether ceremonially clean or unclean, may eat it, just as anyone may eat gazelle or deer. But you must not consume the blood. It's poured out on the ground like water. Chapter 16, verse 1. In honor of the Lord your God, celebrate the Passover each year in the early spring in the month of Abib. For that was the month in which the Lord God brought you out of Egypt by night. Passover sacrifice may be from either the flock or the herd, but it must be sacrificed to the Lord your God, as designated in the place of worship that he chooses for his name to be honored. Eat it with bread made without yeast, unleavened bread. Eat it with bread without yeast. For 7 days, the bread you eat must be made without yeast. This is your escape from Egypt in such a hurry. Eat the bread. Bread is the bread of suffering is what they called it. As long as you do this, as long as you live, you'll do this to remember the day you departed Egypt. Leave no yeast. Let no yeast be found in your house throughout your land for those 7 days. And when you sacrifice the Passover lamb in the evening of the first day, do not let any of the meat remain until the next morning. You're going to eat it all. There was a reason for everything. I mean, there's just, God is so detailed. You must offer it only in the designated place of worship, the place the Lord God chooses for his name to be honored. sacrifice it there in the evening as the sun goes down on the anniversary of your exodus from Egypt. Roast the lamb. Eat it in the place the Lord your God chooses. Then you may go back into your tents in the morning. In other words, you're going to set aside this. They'd build temporary posts and palm leaves on the roof. It's like they're going on a picnic. It's going to be an outside picnic for 7 days. For the next 6 days, you may not eat any of the bread made with yeast. On the seventh day, proclaim another holy day in honor of the Lord your God, and no work may be done on that day. That's why people go, well, you can't work on the Sabbath. Well, you can work on the Sabbath now. It's not a sin. But I remember when I grew up, I remember one day I'd come home from church. I'm living in a little rent house in my neighborhood and not far from my parents. And I was out mowing my grass Sunday afternoon after going from church. All of a sudden, my dad's truck come wheeling into my driveway and slammed on the brakes. My mom got out and she began to yell at me, what are you doing? What are you doing? I thought, what is she mad about? I'm mowing my grass. You can't mow your grass. It's Sunday. We don't work on the Sabbath. We don't work on the Sabbath. Well, and I got thinking, why not? I mean, I didn't think it was that bad. I don't remember reading that it was the 11th commandment or the 12th commandment, but they had taught this in Sunday school in our church, our denomination that we're in. And we made a big deal out of it. Can't work on the Sabbath. Well, lots of people worked on the Sabbath. We had lots of swing shifts and people that work, you know, through Sunday or Sunday morning, Sunday night. It wasn't a sin. We're buying food for our family. So anyhow, it was just a different time. So we're coming up to the festival of the harvest. Verse 9, count off 7 weeks from when you first began to cut the grain at the time of harvest. Then celebrate the festival harvest to honor the Lord your God. Bring him a voluntary offering in proportion to the blessing you have received from him. Now, we can camp out on this. Bring a voluntary offering in proportion to the blessing you receive from him. Bring a voluntary offering. There's no law. Voluntary. In proportion to how God's blessed you. If God's blessed you a little, bring a little. If God blessed you a lot, bring a lot. God lets you decide. You know, that's real good. This is the time to celebrate before the Lord your God at the designated place of worship that he will choose for his name to be honored. Celebrate with your sons and daughters, your male and your female servants, the Levites from your towns, and the foreigners, the orphans, the widows who live among you. Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, so be careful to obey all these decrees. In other words, be nice to everybody. Treat everybody right. Then the festival of shelters. I'm getting several festivals here. You must observe the festival of shelters for 7 days at the end of the harvest season. After the grain has been threshed and the grapes have been pressed, the festival will be a happy time of celebrating with you and your daughters, your male servants, your female servants, the Levites, the foreigners, the orphans, the widows from your towns. For 7 days, you must celebrate this festival to honor the Lord your God in the place he chooses. And for you who he blesses with bountiful harvest and gives you success in all your work. This festival will be a time for great joy. What's he doing? Well, let me go back and read it. Verse 15. For 7 days, you must celebrate this festival to honor the Lord your God at the place he chooses. For it is he, God, who blesses you with bountiful harvest and gives you success in all your work. Who gives you success in your work? God. I love this scripture. God gives you success in all your work. Whatever you do for a living, God promises to give you success. So I never gripe about my place of employment, never gripe about my boss, never cuss my boss. Matter of fact, two different companies I work for, me and a couple of Spirit-filled guys, we got together, and engineers, we're white-collar guys, but we'd walk around our building once every day, Monday through Saturday. I'd be working swing shift or first shift or second shift. We'd get together at a time, we'd walk around the building, just walk around. Nobody ever asked us what we were doing. We're just taking a stroll around the building. But on Sunday, we would show up at the plant, and we'd walk around that place 7 times, just like they did in this one. And so, what are you doing? Well, we're blessed in this building. This place is blessed. The company's blessed. Our product's blessed. Our customers are blessed. More customers are coming in. We bless this place. We call it blessed. We are the redeemed of the Lord. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It is really good. Verse 16, each year every man of Israel will celebrate these three festivals, the festival of unleavened bread, the festival of harvest, and the festival of shelters. On each of these occasions, all men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he chooses, but they must not appear before the Lord God without a gift for him. All must give as they are able, according to the blessings given to them by the Lord your God. So three major festivals a year, don't ever show up without a gift. Bring something. You know, I remember when I was a kid, we get invited to our, maybe an aunt's house or an uncle's house. We never showed up without something. Mom might bake an apple pie. She might have a fruitcake. We might have some ribs or something. We never went to anybody's house without some sort of gift. It was unheard of. Now, I grew up in a Southern Baptist church out in the middle of nowhere, but we had enough something. We read the Bible enough. You don't show up at somebody's house without a gift. Doesn't have to be an expensive gift, but it has to be something. So it might be a baked apple pie that you bring for dessert or whatever, but everybody expected it, and they were thrilled to get it. And sometimes they couldn't wait to see what you brought, you know. And so they're the host. They're going to feed you and serve you and take care of you. But you should bring some gift. So always kind of think about that, especially in business today. Not an expensive gift, but something. Acknowledge something. So, verse 18. Appoint judges and officials for yourselves from each of your tribes and all the towns the Lord God has given you. They must judge the people fairly. You must never twist justice or show partiality. Never accept a bribe, for bribes blind the eye of the wise and corrupt the decisions of the godly. Let true justice prevail, so you may live and occupy in the land that God has given you. You must never set up a wooden faith pole or altar to worship false gods, and never set up sacred pillars for worship, for the Lord God hates them. What's he hate? He hates everything except him. What are you doing? Well, I'm bowing down to this statue I made. Can that statue breathe? That statue bless you? And people do it all over the world, even today. They got things and little dolls and things they got for, you know, well, this is my special blessing. This I pray to this little thing. I do this thing. I keep this with me for significance. I got a four-leaf clover or whatever. No, it's all God. God does the blessing. God does the promoting, the prospering, the healing. God does all that. So we got to keep God in the center of what we do. So all these things were set up by God to help his people remember, I'm the guy that got you out of Egypt. I'm the guy that split the Red Sea. I'm the guy that drowned the entire Egyptian army. I'm the guy that had manna come down from heaven every day so you wouldn't starve. I gave the pillar of fire by night, the cloud and covering by day. I'm good. I'm God, and I'm good all the time. So let's take the minute, and today we're just going to honor God. Father, I thank you. This is the day you have made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. You're going to order our steps, direct our paths. You're going to guide us in all truth. Lord, I pray that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We are people of laughter and a people of love. Our marriages are blessed. Our children are blessed. Our grandchildren are blessed. Our employees are blessed. Speak blessing over those around you. Watch God move like a freight train. He wants to bless you. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.